Galatians chapter 3. Oh, there's a lot of sickness going around too. Continue to pray for those who aren't able to come tonight. Also pray for those that just didn't want to come tonight. There's truth in that. I mean, there are people that are home that should be here. But you know, I was praying before services started, and I was praying, I said, you know, God, I want to be faithful to you, not just to a pastor. I want to be faithful to God, not just to a building. I want to be faithful to God. And thank you so much for your faithfulness to Him. And that's what's important. The pastor is an important piece of the church, but really without God, I mean, we have nothing. So we want to make sure that we're faithful to Him. And so thank you so much for your faithfulness. James chapter 3. The Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." To me, for some reason, and I think a lot of people can will relate to this, this is one of the hardest things to get in our Christian life, is learning to control our tongue. Miss Hamilton, you get to sit back and relax. I already preached this Sunday at Eagles Manor, or a portion of it, so she gets to sleep for a little bit of it. But if you think about it, though, she was sleeping through that anyways on Sunday, so I'm just kidding. But our tongue, isn't it amazing what the Bible says? The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And I know I say this a lot of times when I preach, but I don't know if we'll be here till 8:30 or not. If we are, then God did something. But based off what I've written down, we might be out a little bit earlier than that. But today's society, there is no filter whatsoever on people's tongue. Just recently in the news, Curt Schilling, who used to be a baseball player for Boston Red Sox, when they won the World Series, had posted on his Twitter account that, you know, congratulations to his daughter, and that she was going to be going off to college and going to be playing softball. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of filth started hitting his account from people that were posting just horrific things about his daughter and things that they wanted to do to her and things that were of a violent, sensual nature. And it was just disgusting what they said. And he had wrote a blog about that and basically called them all out and saying, you know, how dare you say that. And then he also made a statement about how horrible our society is, that that's the thing that we think of when it comes to a young lady. But that's our society. And the things that they wrote, and I don't know all the details to it, I just kind of read through it real quick, and the site that I was reading, it stated that we will not give satisfaction to the people that wrote that, and they're not going to post the things that they said, which I am grateful for that. But it was pretty bad. Why? Because the tongue, it's an unruly evil. And that's the world. The world standards, I mean, and they're degenerate and they're horrible and they're wicked. And they just, whatever they think, they just spill it on out. But sometimes we as Christians can do the same thing. Some people will hide behind social media and they'll put on there different things that they'd never say face to face to people. And then sometimes they're just things that people would say either in person or not. Why? Because we have a hard time controlling our tongue. For some reason, it just has a way of controlling us. I think of Paul as he wrote in Romans chapter 7 about how he's carnal and the things that he wants to do, he doesn't do. And I'll read that scripture later on. But a lot of that's how it is with our tongue, too. There are times that we don't want to say things and then all of a sudden it just comes out. And as soon as it does, it's like you want to retract it, but you can't. As soon as it's out there, it's out there. You can apologize, but it still hurts whoever it was that you said it to. Real quick tonight, there are three things that we need to guard. The first one, like I said, is guarding our mouth. As we read here in James chapter 3, James is talking about how, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn around about their whole body. And he talks about the helm and the ships and how it's turned about with wherever the governor listeth. And then he talks about the tongue as a little member and boasteth great things. And he's talking about how it's such a small thing, just like a bit. Just a small thing, just like that helm, and how that it can steer, that rudder can steer those big boats. And our tongue will control us. And we have got to be able to learn how to control it. When I was reading James chapter 3, I thought about the bit in the horse's mouth. I thought about those huge animals. I remember when the Connors, you know, they used to have horses out at their place, and we'd go out there, and the boys would be able to pet them and all that, and they loved seeing them. But you take those big, huge animals that are so strong, you put a saddle on them, and you put that bit in their mouth with the reins. And after a while, it doesn't take a whole lot for a good trained horse. You could just give it a little tug and it feels the pressure from that bit and it'll go everywhere that you tell it to. This big, huge beast that could really trample you and hurt you. And yet you have control of it by a small little rod that's in its mouth. But for us, Our tongue can control us or we can control it. But the thing is if we try to control it in our own power, we will not be able to do it. I wake up and I can say, all right, I'm going to get victory today over my tongue. I'm going to watch what I say. I'm going to guard it. I'm going to try my best to make sure that I'm saying things that are appropriate. And if I'm trying to do it in my own power, in my own ability, I'm going to fail. Because I can't control it. I have to be able to trust in God. I have to be able to go to God and I have to say, God, I need your help. And not just go and pray. A lot of times we think that the magic thing to everything is just prayer. And I will say this, prayer does work. Prayer works. But it's not just something that you can kneel down and say, okay, God, I need your help. Please give me victory over my tongue today and then go off and do whatever you want. Because it doesn't work that way. We think that if we just kneel down and we pray for just a few minutes that we did our part and then we sit back and expect God to do everything else when we haven't changed anything about us. And we just expect Him to work His magic and just do something great and then be surprised that God did it because we prayed. When we pray, God works through us, but there's still work that we have to do. It's not just all on Him. We have to put the effort behind it too, and then He encourages us along the way and reminds us the things that we need to remember. But if we don't change ourselves as far as the things that we watch, the things that we see on TV or who are around, how can He change if we're not willing to? 5 seconds in prayer saying, God, please change the way that I talk. And then the entire rest of the day filling it with a whole bunch of garbage. You're not going to be able to get victory there. Psalms chapter 19 verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words of my mouth. I want the words that I say to be acceptable to God. I want God to be happy with what I say. I want Him to be acceptable. The things that I say, I want to be able to say when I get to heaven. And so the first thing I have to do is I have to fill my head with scripture that'll help me with it. The way to control our mouth is the next thing is we have to guard our mind. Psalm 19 verse 14, like I said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. The things that we put in, the things that we think on, the things that we're pondering about when nobody else knows. Those are the things that get us into trouble. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The victory that we can get over our mouth is by the Word of God. And meditating upon the Bible. When I was in school, in high school, at Treasure State, we had a contest. And they just sprung it on us. We had no time to prepare. They said, we're going to come over to this side of the room and everybody come on over. And we did. And they said, we're going to have a contest for scripture memorization. No warning. We're just going to go one at a time. Stand up and quote a verse. And then the next one. And the next one. And you can't repeat them. And it has to be word perfect. You have to be able to stand up, give the scripture reference where it's from, and then quote the scripture. People were scrambling. They had their Bibles there trying to figure out different verses and make sure that they had them down. And we sat there and it didn't take very long. The main verses that a lot of people already know, the Romans road, in Ephesians 6, 1, because your parents quote that, or parents, I quote that all the time to my kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But as soon as the commonly known verses were out, you know, everybody says, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Okay, I could do it. Go sit down. But then you couldn't repeat a verse that somebody else had already said. And it got a little difficult. But the reason why they did that was because they wanted to see how much scripture we actually knew and had memorized and was ready to go without having to study and be ready for it a week in advance. They wanted us to see what it was like just to be able to stand up and quote verses. I wonder tonight, if we did that, right here. If I just started right over here with Brother Ortez and said, all right, Brother Ortez, stand up and give me a scripture verse. And then just continue going all the way down through. How far would we get before somebody dropped out? That's convicting for me too. But how many verses could we sit there and quote time and time and time again? We call ourselves Christians and we say that we stand by the book and that the King James Bible is the authorized version, and we'll say all those things that we like to say, but do we put the practice into it of actually knowing what the Word of God says? And the only way to do that is by studying it. Study to show thyself what? Proved. Yeah. Which is your reasonable service. We have to study. The Christian life takes work. Why? Because it's hard. The reason why it's hard is because the things that God tells us is against the nature of our human flesh. We say we want an eye for an eye. Jesus has turned the other cheek. We say, we want all the money in the world so that I can be successful. And God says, hey, give 10% back to me. Doesn't make sense. He says, husbands, love your wives. Now that should make sense and be easy. But you know, there's a reason why He said it. Because sometimes we can get busy and we can get going and we can forget to take the time to express that love to our wife. And He says, hey, make sure you do this. And then He says, wives, submit. Then I didn't say be subservient. He said submit. There's a difference. But that's not easy. He says that we're supposed to love our enemies. I don't know about you, but somebody wants to say some mean things to me and to my family, I really don't want to love them. But God says that that's what we're supposed to do. And it's against our nature. And that's what makes it so difficult. So the only way for us to continue to strengthen ourselves as Christians is to fill our hearts and our minds with the Word of God so that we know what it says. So when we're faced with a situation, we can quote the Scripture because we're meditating upon it. Because we've been bringing it back to remembrance time and time and time again. The Scripture that I studied, I'm going to remember it. Sometimes we're at fault because, and I'm in favor of it, of people that read their Bible through in a year. I think that's great. And we put it in the bulletin so that you can stay on track and say, by Saturday you should be at this point if you want to read the Bible through in a year. And I'm all for that. But sometimes what we do is we read for the sake of reading. All right, I'm going to read 3 chapters today. I'm going to read 5 Psalms, and I'm going to read my proverb of the day. And I got to start, and I've got 15 minutes to do it. So here we go. Psalm 1. All right, blessed is the man and welcome to the and understand the way of sinners and sinners and sinners and his delight is in the law of the Lord and in his law that to meditate day and night and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bring forth his fruit in the season and sleep also shall not wither and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. All right, I got my Psalm 1 down on the Psalm 2. All right, got to get my proverb down. So we flip over to Proverbs and we read our proverb of the day because if, you know, there's just like preachers always said, 31 Proverbs, we can get it through. Read a proverb a day. Read 5 Psalms a day. Read some in the New Testament. All right, Matthew chapter 1. Here we go. The genealogies of Christ. Whew. But we read it for the sake of reading it. And then we close our Bibles and we expect that because we read our Bible today, that God's going to bless us. And that it's going to magically make my life just wonderful today because I read my Bible. So the Bible is not a magical book that can automatically make you into this great Christian. The Bible is just like a mirror. All it does is show you what you need to change. But it's on us to take the steps necessary to change. It doesn't magically do it. We read it, and then our next step is to meditate upon it. So the question is you read your Bible today? If you did, that's great. But have you thought about what you read since you read it? Yesterday I was reading James chapter 1, and then the day got busy. Got to work, and things just started being crazy on Monday. And I'll be honest with you, it was hard to remember some of the things that I had read. Just got busy. And at the end of it, there's some things that I retained because I remembered bits and pieces of what I read and some of it that I didn't because I didn't meditate upon all of it. I thought about some. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. I thought about that verse. If I can't control my tongue, and my coworkers know that I'm a Christian. The other day, one of my coworkers, her name's Chrissy, she came up to me and said, hey, have you seen this movie? And she started to say it, and she said, no, probably you didn't. Why? She knows I'm a Christian. They knew last week that we had special meetings. They knew that I was going. They had a work thing, and they started to ask, are you going? No. You have church tonight, don't you? And if I'm standing there and I'm telling everybody I'm a Christian, but then I cannot bridle my own tongue, then my religion is in vain. It's empty. It is worthless. Because all they'll see is a hypocrite. Somebody that stands up there and claims that they're a Christian, but does not act or talk like it. And then they'll say, what's the point? What's the point of going to your church when you talk the same way that I do? What's the point when you think the same way that I do? I'm not going to waste my time. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. How are we doing with that? Controlling that tongue. Watching what we're putting our mind into. Well, I read the statistic a while back ago of how many hours per day a person watches TV. You could sit down, watch a movie, and 2 hours is gone, and you're thinking, wow, that was 2 hours? That went quick. And you say, I'm going to go down and I'm going to pray for 2 hours. It seemed pretty quick watching that movie. And you start to pray and you 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 pray. And you look at your watch and say, man, it's only been 5 minutes. And we can just sit there and just stare at this box and let it infiltrate our mind and poison us and change the way that we think, which then changes the way that we talk. Just like that old computer term. Garbage in, garbage out. You get whatever you put into it. My iPad, I can't use any program unless I first put it into it. I can't use any scripture unless I've read it and meditated upon it. It's worthless to me. This Bible is worthless to you unless you open it up and read it, and then meditate upon it. We can't just read it and be done with it. Discard it, did my job. It's meditating upon it. Joshua chapter 1, like he said in chapter 1, verse 8, let me get that pulled back up here. And he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And here it is, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We all want to be successful in everything that we do. There's not a one of us in here that is a husband that wants to be a failure as a husband. There's not one of us that want to be, you ladies that say, I just want to be a failure as a wife. I want to be a failure as a parent. I want to be a failure as a teenager. I want to be a failure in my job. No, we all say the same thing. We all want to be successful in it. The problem is we don't put the effort and the work behind it to become successful. Reading our Bible, yeah. There are people that are readers that could just tear through the Bible. But then do we meditate on it? He didn't tell Joshua, if you read it, then you'll be successful. He says, when you meditate upon it day and night, constantly bringing it back to your remembrance, thinking of it over and over and over again, then you're going to be prosperous, then you'll have good success. We have to guard our mind. Lastly, we have to guard our mouth, we have to guard our mind, and we have to guard our motives. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, Paul's writing here, as I said earlier. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, for What I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. He says, I want to do right. I have the will to do it. I just don't do it. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, here it is, evil is present with me. There are times we can do good, and that evil is still present there. That nature is still there. I'm going to confess my sins. I did it to my Sunday school class already on Sunday. Sunday morning, I did not want to drive the bus. I didn't. Sorry, brother. I knew when Brother Wall texted me on Friday, I think it was Friday, as soon as I got that, I knew I had to drive the bus. There's no question about it. I don't drive the bus, kids don't come to church. It's the way it is. We don't have a lot of drivers. We need more drivers, but we don't have a lot. So when he texts me, he already said Brother Ross isn't able to. I thought, I didn't text him back. He texts me on Saturday. I'm using Phoebe's phone. Not sure if you got this or not, but just checking to see if you got that message. I got it. There's a reason I didn't respond back to him. I didn't want to do it. I didn't. I got on the bus Sunday morning. I had stuff that we wanted to get done. Clyde was going to come over Sunday after church and help me with the starter on my car. And I wanted to be there. I didn't want him just be there by himself, just working on it. I didn't want to postpone him too and push him back, have to shorten him down. I just didn't want to drive the bus. I was being selfish. I got on the bus Sunday morning. I didn't say anything. I didn't. Sheldon said, here's your list. I said, all right. Sheldon, pray. We prayed and we went. We drove. I didn't say anything. I asked a couple questions, make sure that I knew what we're doing was right, making sure we're picking up people when we're supposed to and all that. Kids came on the bus. They'd ask me questions. I'd say, all right, go back and sit down. It was bad. Why? I didn't want to do it. Why? Because of my flesh. I did it. But I didn't have the right motive. That which I do, but when I do good, as you said, evil is present with me. I didn't want to. I knew I had to get it right, though. Because if I wanted to be any type of an effective Sunday school teacher, I knew I couldn't have that hovering over me when I went to teach. I knew I had to pull and get to the back of the church and stop and ask God to forgive me for my rotten attitude. And I came in and I even told them, I don't want to drive. And it was pretty obvious, wasn't it, Sheldon? Usually I'm very talkative. I know this is a shock to everybody. But I was quiet and it was obvious. I did the right thing. I showed up and I drove. In my own mind. Yeah. Yeah, you drive all the time. Your job is just not to get pulled over. But you know, but we do that all the time though. We'll do the right thing, but for the wrong motive. There are times you may show up to church and you're doing the right thing and inside your motive is just horrible. Where you just say, I don't want to be here. I'm only being here because I'm supposed to be here. And if I'm not here, somebody's going to text me or call me and say, why weren't you here? And we come. Sometimes we sit down in our seats and we stand up and we're supposed to sing and we just stand there. We're doing what we're told, but our motives are just all out of whack. What does it all come down to? Selfishness. The whole point, me not wanting to drive the bus. Why? Because I was thinking about me and myself and what I wanted to do. And yeah, I could rationalize it out and say, my day's busy enough as it is, and I'll add to it by driving the bus. That don't mean anything. We can try to convince ourselves why we have the wrong attitude all day long. But the question is when we stand before God, is that really going to influence Him and say, yeah, you were right. You were too busy. You should have just sat home instead of coming to church on Wednesday. I'm sure you worked till 7 o'clock. You deserve to just sit at home. It's not a big deal that my son died on a cross for you. And all the things that he did, that's not that big of a deal. You should have just, you wanted to stay home and work on your car on Sunday instead of driving the bus. It's okay. Really? But for some reason, we convince ourselves that what we think is right. And if we were to go to God and say, all right, God, here's the real reason why, wouldn't stand worth anything. But yeah, we try to convince ourselves and convince everybody else. And yes, we'll even do the right thing. But God knows the truth. God knows what we think and why we do what we do. We can't fool Him. We think we can, but we can't fool God. God knows our hearts. I was thinking of with Samuel when he came looking for the next king. And he looked at David's oldest brother and he thought, man, this guy looks like a king. And he said, mm-mm. Why? Because man looks on the outward appearance. We look and say, all right, they're at church today. They must be doing pretty good. They showed up. They must be great Christians to show up to church on a Wednesday night because this is the cream of the crop. This is the faithful right here. We look and say, boy, they were in church today. Their marriage must be sound because they were in church on Wednesday night. We look on the outward appearance. We look and say, boy, they're smiling. Things are great. But God looks on the heart. He knows what we do and why we do it and what we're thinking. And so we have to guard our motives to make sure that we're doing it for God. Because as I said earlier, we're supposed to be faithful to Him. Not to the church as in the building. Not in the name Heritage Baptist Church. But what it stands for, which is Christ. I don't want to be faithful just to a man. Why? Because a man will fail me. That's the simple truth. You be around me long enough, I'm going to fail you. I'm going to. But God never fails. That's why I want to be faithful to Him. I want to make sure that my motives are right for Him. That I guard my mouth and I guard my mind. Why? Because I want to be called a Christian representing Christ. Not just Heritage Baptist Church. Although I am proud that I'm a member here. But I'm prouder of the fact that I serve a risen King. And that's what matters. And I hope this week that we guard our mind and our motives and our mouth, that we could bring honor to Him. Let's pray, dearly Father, Lord, I pray that You would be with us. Lord, I can't preach this message without getting convicted myself. Lord, of what I think and what I say and why I do what I do. Lord, You know the truth in all of it. I can't hide from You. Lord, I pray that we would be more fervent to meditate upon your word, because that's the key for all of it. To think about the scripture and to memorize it. Lord, I pray that we would be more fervent in that. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here today that's not sure they're on their way to heaven, then today they can get that settled. Their heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, just a real brief. Never want to close out a service without an opportunity for somebody, if you're not saved, to make sure that you are. I know we're all family here. My wife was at Bible college when she got saved, though. In her 20s. We never know. If you're here today and you're not sure, maybe you've got doubts, say, I'm not 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven. Should you pray for me? If you just lift your hand up, I'd like to pray for you. All right. I'm not going to have an altar call. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. But just think, how's your mouth been? God, who has seen your life this week, has it been acceptable in his sight? Because whether we realize it or not, it's been in his sight. How's that mouth? How's the mind? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. How's our motives? I pray that we leave here and we pray fervently that we can get that under control and bridle it. Lord, I pray now as we go our separate ways, I pray that you would encourage us, Lord, to put forth the effort that we need to change the way that we are. Lord, help us not to just be like everybody else. Help us to be different because we want to be more like you. Lord, I pray that we would be more fervent in our prayer and our Bible reading and our Bible memorization and our meditating upon it. Help us, Lord, as we go our separate ways in your name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll Saturday at 10 o'clock, soul winning, and then also Sunday, Brother Ortez preaching. We'll see you then.